Yo. Can you hear me? You listening to
Hashtag WAW. What a week. What a week.
Eita, welcome to another edition of Wow, What a Week. It's going to be an incredible show, an incredible week. We're speaking to one of my favorite comedians. We'll also be speaking to one of my favorite dudes in film and television. In fact, to celebrate, we're going to celebrate this week with Southern Comfort, or SoCo, as some of you call them. Now, they've hooked up with DJ Chaotic, a favorite of mine. One original spirit with another. Now, if you know Southern Comfort, the smooth whiskey base with stone fruits and spices, you know you can mix it up with just about anything. Lemonade, cola, orange juice. Yes, you can mix it. Now stand a chance to mix it up with your mates, because Southern Comfort is giving away a house party valued at 100,000 Rand with DJ Chaotic in the mix. If that's talking to your original spirit, buy a bottle of Southern Comfort to enter. Details in store. Southern Comfort, so tasteful, so original. Drink responsibly. Not for sale to persons under the age of 18. Let's get this show on the road.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
Our first guest for Wow, What a Week this week is not only one of the funniest guys I've heard this year. I went to that show, The Happiness Economy, a couple of weeks ago, and it was incredible. There are very few comedy shows that leave you thinking and possibly having you shed a tear. I only shed one, though. I was very dramatic. Just one tear. Please make some noise for Nicholas Goliath.
Yes, DJ Fresh. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you doing, my dude? How are you doing?
I am good, man. Yeah. I am happy. I am excited. And I'm happy to be here.
We last had you on here, I think it was June last year. So it's been a year and a month.
Since we last I'm an annual feature. I'll accept that.
Thank you very much.
There's something special about being an annual event.
Exactly. Yeah. For one of our three annual Goliath appearances, make some noise for Nicholas Goliath.
Boom, 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 boom. I make my own noises.
Are you Florida's finest or Eldo's finest?
Eldo's to Florida to Sharon Lee's finest.
Oh, in Sharon Lee
yeah,
now?
Yeah, no, we have to. In fact, an Uber driver dropped me off and he was like, oh, DJ Fresh used to love you. And
where in Sharon
Belize? Lee? I don't know. It's a complex. Now people know where I live.
Are you at Belize? Oh, flip.
Yes.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend were there.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, no. Are you there?
I'm there.
You've
I'm
really
there
moved
now.
Up, eh?
No, I've, you know, working slowly but surely. Yeah, we're trying these things. I want to be like you one day. Yeah.
What, 5 kids?
Eh? No, I'm okay. Done, bro. I got my 2. I don't know. I'm not there. Yo, 5, guys. I'm struggling with it.
So you've got 2 boys?
2 boys, yeah.
And one of them was in Germany the other day, right?
Yes, man.
How was the Germany trip?
He loved it. Yeah. He loved it. Mm-hmm. He came back looking like a man. He's 15 years old.
Yes, sir.
Came back looking just bigger, stronger, like more adult. Like his eyes have opened to the world now. It made me so happy.
You don't think it's the beer in Germany?
I don't think he touched beer. Eh?
Okay.
I really wish that he did. I gave him permission. I was like, hey, bruh, if you get the opportunity, do the thing.
Have a beer.
Because he's a good kid. He doesn't break the rules. And I was like, sometimes it's okay. Break 1 or 2 rules here and there. But yeah, he loved it.
Before we talk about the happiness economy, which is why we have you in here. So normally what I do if I struggle to sleep is I use weed oil. Like literally a drop of weed oil under my tongue, and it helps me sleep.
Okay.
I literally pass out. So I went to one of the cannabis outlets in Fourways.
Yeah.
And you know what is wild? How it's just become such an open thing that there's one cannabis shops.
Yes.
And you walk in there and there's literally a queue.
Of people.
All
sorts of people. That's what makes me so happy is I go, everybody smokes dacha. And I say dacha, yes. Because that's what it was made out to be. But it was illegal. Do you know I got arrested for that thing?
In fact, that's why I was talking about it. The fact that you were arrested for amounts that right now you can just go and buy.
1.61 grams. I'll never forget that number. They let me go eventually. And then months later, a police officer came to my house with a subpoena for me to appear in court. And I wasn't at home. And he gave it to my mother. My mother, my Christian colored mother.
Found out that you've been arrested for weed.
Yes.
For dacha.
Yeah. And then I am a druggie now. Then I had to explain that, no, it's not the same.
And they'll never let you forget.
No, they'll never let you forget. Yeah. And they, because they were raised that it's as bad as tick.
No, no, it's not even as bad as tick. You're the devil.
Yeah. No, no, no. I'm a crackhead. I'm going to steal everything in the house, and they need to start locking their bedroom at night. That's basically what they were experiencing. And I'm like, no, it's not the same thing.
And if anything goes wrong, you could say, oh, mom, someone drove into the wall. Yeah, but had you not smoked the dacha?
Yeah,
you start being blamed for everything.
No, no. They rather let me drink than smoke. I was like, no, this makes no sense. And now today, the thing, okay, it's not legal. It's not illegal. We don't know.
We're getting there.
Where the area.
But there's a shop, and you won't get arrested.
Yeah, you can go into a store. Imagine. Go and buy it like it's a loaf of bread.
It's wild. It's wild.
Yeah. No, but it makes me happy. The world's progressing, and I think that I have a joke actually where I say that I feel like it should have never been classified as a drug. Like, you can only classify something as a drug if people can see from far that you are on it. Then it's drugs. Like, you know, once you get this, and you start drooling, and and you're just leaning.
I'll suck a dick, man.
Yeah. Then I'm like, that's drugs. Like, once you start plotting, what am I gonna steal here? How much is this car?
When your mom starts hiding stuff.
Yes, then you're on drugs.
Then you're on drugs.
Yeah, but weed, I'm just like, it's not for everyone. Yeah. I'm not saying everyone go out and start smoking.
Absolutely.
But I feel like, it's not as serious as you think it is. Talk to your kids about it.
In fact, another thing you should talk to your kids about is the happiness economy. It's a show you are doing with Donovan.
Yeah, Jason.
Jason.
But
Jason,
I mean, it's fine. We all look the same.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, you know, I saw you as like, I'm sure Gaten was talking about you when he said we can now start spinning.
Man, can I tell you, I'm so excited about Gaten. Art and culture, that's my people. When I saw art and culture, I was like, thank you they didn't give him Home Affairs because I need art and culture. And I just love the work that he's doing. Like, you know, I don't know if I can trust the bra, but yeah. I know people like Gaten.
Yeah.
That are...
he's a doer.
He
wants to get stuff done.
I said to my wife the other day, that Gaten reminds me of old school gangsters.
Oh, yes.
You know, the gangsters that we grew up with, where you knew who the gangsters were in the hood, but they didn't do their cuck in their hood.
In fact, the hood was safe because of them.
Because of them. You don't come and make cuck here because the gangsters will sort you out.
Yeah.
And they protected. They were the bras who bought food parcels for the houses who
absolutely
need. They looked after, they paid school fees. You know, they did those types of things.
Yes.
Looked after the kids and made sure those that are going to succeed do well.
Sure.
Whereas now, the gangsters don't care. They'll sell to the neighbor. They sell to the neighbor's child.
They will shoot your daughter.
Yeah, and there's no interest. There's no respect for the area. It's all about the money.
So you say Gaten has that air, the air of that.
Yeah, because every politician, when they get the opportunity, is going to take money.
Sure.
And I just feel like he's going to take the money, but he's also going to make sure we are sorted. Things are nice.
Or if he takes the money, it's for us.
Yeah. No, we're stealing above the board. Like, you're not stealing the whole house. You just take a few tiles off the roof.
Yeah.
Like, or we put a different roof. Yeah. Simple.
And we're going to use those tiles to build an old lady's house.
Look, or buy a Benz. I don't know. But he doesn't need the bucks. He doesn't need the bucks also.
But that's what I actually appreciate about him.
Yes.
That he's such, his work ethic has allowed him to live comfortably anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, people are going to talk about, how did he get his money? Well, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as the bra is doing the right stuff for the country, I love what he's doing so far.
Sure.
I love the...
Are you going to take up spinning now?
The turmoil. I've been wanting to take up spinning. It's just, I've got to pay school fees and bonds and medical aid. So, those things are expensive.
And trips to Germany.
Yeah. I must go set of tires, trip to Germany. Yeah. Man.
It's like, son, you're not going to Germany.
Yeah, but let's go sideways, boy. Yeah. Priorities.
So you and Jason decide we need to do a show.
Mm.
And you do a show that is very well thought out, very intentional, very thought-provoking, and funny.
Thank you.
And left people in tears.
Yes. You know, one of the best compliments we got during the run was... Yeah. You made me laugh till I cried, and you made me cry till I cried.
Oh, yes.
You know, and that thing, that's a message that sat with me. It still sits with me.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what we wanted from the show. You know, it started during COVID where things were going bad. Everyone was in a bad space. And Jay and I started discussing what happiness is, where it comes from. Because he had this idea that, you know, the standard saying in life is success equals happiness.
Absolutely.
So in other words, when you get the big job, the big house, the big money, whatever, then you're going to be happy.
Sure.
And yet you still find people in the big house with the big money, with the big job, that are committing suicide, that are extremely unhappy. And then it doesn't make sense to us.
They're miserable in their money.
Exactly, because you're chasing a thing that's supposed to make you happy.
Sure.
And he believed that because the equal sign, as we taught in maths, whatever happens on the left is equal to what happens on the right. So if success equals happiness, essentially happiness equals success. And we kind of tried to break that down. And it came from us being able to do comedy, because comedy has taken us to a place, or at least for me, where I've been exposed to things that I would have never been exposed to. The fact that I'm sitting here with you now is because I tell jokes for a living. It's you know,
who would have thunk it, even?
Dude, and the thing is, like, I look at young comedians who come in now and they go, I want to be like Trevor Noah, I want to be like Jason, I want to be like whoever. And I never wanted to be like anyone. I wanted to be like Joey Radin and John Vlismas, because they were the first comedians I saw, and their style of comedy was amazing. Yeah. But I wanted to do comedy because I love making people laugh. I love spreading happiness.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at people now who are chasing the fame and the fortune, and they don't enjoy the journey.
Yes.
And that's where the conversation started with Jay and I, where we were just in it to have fun. The fact that we've turned it into a career blows our minds.
Yes, sir.
And then we tried to figure out, like, cool, if we're experiencing this, are there other people who are experiencing this? And then, if so, does your happiness equal your success?
Absolutely.
Because if you look at where Jay is,
In fact, but you guys get very personal with your stories.
Mm.
So, for instance, Jason talks about how his dad being an alcoholic affected his that relationship, but it also brought a lot of things into perspective for him.
Yeah.
Walking that journey with his dad.
Yeah.
At a personal level, tell us your story within the happiness economy.
My story within the happiness economy is I grew up not happy.
Yeah.
Like, I never knew what I wanted. I grew up always feeling like I was not good enough. I wasn't handsome enough. I wasn't, you know, the standard, you know, looking around and listening to what people say.
Yeah.
And I had the curly, or back then I was called Cruz hair.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I was like, oh, I'm never going to get a girlfriend. And, you know, you live on everybody else's expectations.
Sure, sure.
And then I always said to Jason, I discovered late in life, I'm a good-looking brah.
Yes, sir.
Like but it's, you know, we realized that, I realized that I was affected so much by my family, by society, the way I grew up, that everybody taught me about how to make money.
Sure.
They taught me about how important it is to study, how important it is to work hard, but nobody taught me about how important it is to try and find your happiness.
Oh, yes.
And just be happy with who you are before you go and look for anything else.
In fact, in the show, you talk about GAP.
Yes.
What on earth is GAP?
So GAP is, so we essentially, we started off with like a whole lot of ideas on what you need for your happiness.
Sure.
So you've got to be able to have accountability and acceptance and gratitude and all of these things. And then we eventually, after having the conversations and doing our podcast, which is also the Happiness Economy, we realized that it's essentially these three things. The GAP is gratitude, acceptance, and perspective or perception. So your gratitude is every day you've got to wake up being grateful for where you are, who you are, what you are.
What are you grateful for this morning?
This morning, I was grateful that I was able to just wake up.
Yeah.
Actually, because some days that's all that it is. There's nothing.
So how old are you now?
I turned 40 in September.
Okay. So yeah. So when you're 40, you're grateful for the fact that you took your piss and you could shake twice and not have a third drop as you walked off.
Yeah, there's always a
the
third
little
drop.
Things.
There's always a third drop.
No, I'm still at two drops, eh?
Nah, I don't know what you're on.
I shake well.
No.
If it's two good shakes, the third drop won't come.
No, you have to pull brakes and hold everything back and then let it. No, bro. I sometimes just take a piece of tissue and just dab it. It is what it is, man. I don't, you know, you can judge me. It's fine. My wife loves me and she knows my story. It's okay. I don't care. And that's part of the thing. Like, that's the other thing is the acceptance. Like, that, you know, so gratitude, acceptance, perspective.
So what would you say the biggest thing has been in your personal life when it comes to acceptance? What have you accepted?
So I think it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
It's a daily thing that you've got to accept. Like for me, the where I am in my life at the moment, it's not exactly where I want to be, but I've got to accept the fact that I made the decisions that got me here. No matter what external things there are, it's my decisions that got me into the place that I'm there.
So for instance, because you've got a wife and two sons, you can't afford to go buy an expensive German car the way Jason can.
Yes.
So you have to accept that.
I have to accept that. But I also, in accepting that, I can be happy when Jay goes and buys his expensive German car.
Sure.
I can be happy for him truly because that's the life that he chose.
And I think that's the ultimate level of acceptance, when you become happy for people versus I envy them.
Oh, man, envy is the thief, you know what I mean? Of your happiness.
When I am so happy for you, I'm like, it couldn't have happened to a better person versus, fuck, some guys have all the luck.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And that mentality frustrates me so much. Yeah. It should have been me. Exactly. I can do it better than
him. It's like, why him again?
It doesn't matter why. Yeah. Because your time is going to come. And that's the thing that we've also learned, that timing is cosmic.
When it's
your time, it's your time. It's going to happen. And it sounds all airy-fairy, and a lot of people will go, oh, whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter. That's what I believe. Do the right things for the right reasons. You can't fail.
Absolutely.
Simple. That's been something we've been trying to live by in our business, is just the right things for the right reasons. That inner voice that tells you yes or no, listen to that voice.
Absolutely. And perspective?
You know, it's easy to look at somebody's life and go, hey, DJ Fresh, successful, big money, most successful DJ, must be nice, bank accounts must be full, you must be happy. But we don't know what happens when your doors are closed.
Absolutely.
People look at me, they go, living in Baliza now, big house, big car, I must be nice. But when the doors are closed, nobody knows. So, you know, oftentimes we stress about our things that are going on in your life, and sometimes you've just got to change the perspective and just look at the situation differently. Like if you whatever it is you're going through, whether it be emotional, whether it be financial, if you look at it from a different side, I know people that would kill to have the problems that you have. You know, for you it may feel like the world is about to end, but there are people who die to be in the situation that you are in and have the problems that you have. Jay and I once had a conversation where I said, you know, it makes me so happy that most of my problems can be solved with money.
Yeah.
Like there's no big issues that like money can't solve. Everything is just if I had a little bit more bucks, most of my problems would be solved. And, you know, just changing the perspective on that makes you realize that it's not as bad as you think it is always. Sometimes there's also a lesson to be learned.
Having your health every morning is a head start.
My man.
Because a lot of people don't.
They don't. And they would, you know, it's that age-old thing of the guy in the car looking at the guy in the helicopter, and behind him is a guy on a bicycle, and behind him is a guy taking a walk, and behind him is a guy in a wheelchair. And it just keeps, so there's
behind
always...
Behind him is a guy who is an amputee.
Exactly.
Hopefully so not with a Glock.
Yeah. So, you know, it's those things where and it sounds cheesy to say there's always someone worse off, but those things for me, and that's the main thing as well, is that we would need people to understand that I'm not telling you how to live your life.
Sure.
Jay and I are telling you our experience and what has worked for us. And if you can take notes from that and find something that helps you in your life, that's what we want.
Sure.
If it doesn't work for you, then you don't have to take anything. Then the show is funny. So that's the thing.
You've got to come
and have a laugh, and you can come and learn. But you can have either one. You don't have to have both. And never feel like we are telling you how to live your life.
Sure.
We're just telling you, this is our experience, this is what we've learned, take it or leave it, and have a good time.
You guys did Johannesburg, you got a lot of love. I attended one of the shows, I think it was on the Wednesday that I attended. It was amazing.
Thank you.
I shed a tear or two. Luckily, I'm not a crier.
Because your cry would have been like,
would have disturbed the show. You guys are off to Cape Town now.
Yes, 26, 27 July.
Yeah.
We're doing Fire and Ice Hotel there, and tickets at Web Tickets, $200 a ticket.
Okay.
And, you know, people have been asking, who's the show for?
Yeah.
It's for everyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I can't say it any
other way. If you're alive.
If, yeah. If you're alive and you can listen, come to the show. If you can't listen, bring someone who can listen for you and translate into sign language.
Why don't you get Bompi to come in?
Who's Bompi?
The guy who did the sign language at Mama Winnie's. Was it Madiba's?
Oh, no, the that guy that was Kualatsaring.
Yeah.
While, yo, that man stood next to Barack Obama.
Eh? And did the Kualatsa.
Yeah. But Donald Trump, how did they... That's a whole different story now.
Do you think it was staged?
Of course. That was the first thing I thought before I read anything else. Because I don't follow social media and those things. But when I saw it, I was like, this feels... Because it's Trump, it feels like it's staged.
Also because he looks like he would run away from a fight.
Yes.
He looks like that guy.
No,
he looks like one bullet would have him cowering under there.
Yes.
Because he's like, I'm dying. But exactly. The fact that he wanted to Amanda already says that was part of the script.
Come on, Donald. Come on. He's trying to fool us. He thinks we are stupid here. Hollywood, and we don't care.
But
we
it's working because, you know, he's polling nicely. And people who are seeing the Amanda picture are saying, there's your next president.
There's your hero. And that's going to win him the presidency. Which, look, once again, politics is not my strong point.
Sure.
So the things I say, please do not take them seriously. But I've seen like a few videos of Joe Biden. Then I'm like, that bra is going to die. Like while he's there talking to the people. So maybe they need a younger bra. Trump is maybe not the one.
And my biggest worry with Biden is half the time he looks dead anyway. So we won't even know that he plugged it.
My man.
So we'll be thinking he's thinking.
Dude, we celebrated my granny's 88th birthday this past weekend.
Sure.
And I love my granny. She's amazing. Mm. But I had the same conversation with my granny all day.
Sure.
The same conversation over and over.
So which one are you again?
No. So long-term memory, she's there. She knows who
she's
we are.
Okay.
But she's like, whose party is this? We're like, it's your party, Omar. Yeah. You are 88 years old. She's like, no ways.
Yeah.
But the same conversation over and over. I don't know how old Biden is.
Sure.
But I'm like, you can't have a man in charge of nuclear codes who also has that same type of short-term memory. No, I don't trust it, guys. Biden,
And the way the first lady spoke to him after the debate a couple of weeks ago, it's like, you did really, really well. Well done. I was like, what is this?
No, bro. It's because that's what happens. You start treating the older people
like a child.
Then they start getting treated like children again.
Exactly.
And I'm like, no, I don't. That bra's a president. We think we have problems. Guys. Cyril at least has his wits about him. He can still move.
He still knows where to hide, man.
Yeah. Nice couches.
Should we check?
Hey, now I've checked these couches, man. Check every couch. After that story, I'm like, no, you never know where the money is. Home Affairs, I'm there on the chairs, just bouncing. I'm like, anyway, these people are stealing the box. Thank you, Kaiten.
Where's the show going to from Cape Town? Because I know you want to take it to different places.
Yeah, so Cape Town, from Cape Town, we do GQ end of August.
Okay.
Then we're back in Joburg end of December.
Mm.
But we're doing Wild Coast Sun. We're doing Durban, KZN, and Wild Coast.
Sure.
And we're taking it all over. We're going to drop all of the tour dates.
Yes, sir.
But the next one, GQ. So Cape Town, GQ, Joburg, Bloom. We want to go everywhere.
Guys, GQ is Port Elizabeth, if you're lost.
Ebeha.
Port Elizabeth.
Thank you very much.
My dude, I just wanted to big you and Jay up.
Thank you.
The Happiness Economy is an incredible show. It's a show I think every single South African should watch. I think you guys need a school's version of The Happiness Economy that should be taken to schools. Or at the very least, they must DVD it and play it for school kids.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs to see the show.
So
shout out to you guys.
That's special, man.
And that's why we have you here. We just wanted to say, listen, we love your work. We appreciate
Thank
your work.
You
guys are kicking ass.
Thank you, brother.
So
you
stay kicking ass.
No idea what that means.
Yeah.
Like to hear it from you.
For me, it means 5% of every book you sell to government.
No. We're down. We're down.
Okay.
We're looking at a few different versions of the show. For the kids, for corporate, because we got to pay the bills so that we can do it for free for the kids. There's plans in the pipeline and
yes, sir.
Onward we will go.
Shout out to you, my dog.
Thank you, sir.
And we'll continue shouting your names from the tallest towers.
Yo, guys, you don't know this.
Eh?
No, bro, it's still blows my mind. I'm still starstruck when I get to chill with you. Then you speak to me like just a normal bra out in the streets. Like, guys, do you know who this is? Do you know this is DJ Free? I know you're watching and you know, but do you know that? Do you know? No, yeah. I was a child. This man was famous already. He's here. Yeah,
no, right. No. When I was a child, I was famous already. So don't worry, it's not that deep.
No. It's not that deep, but like, yeah, it's you're someone that we've always looked up to.
Yeah, shut up,
my dude. It means a lot. Thank you.
Yes, sir. The happiness economy coming to Cape Town. Get your tickets. Please get your tickets now this weekend, because it'll probably sell out now this weekend. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, Nicholas Goliath.
Ba, 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 ba. Making his own sounds.
This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
Our next guest has been in the film and TV industry since about 2006. I've encountered him on and off, but I think he made a lasting impression on me when we were in Cancun, Mexico, shooting the Tropica Island of Treasure. He was one of the assistant directors, and he looked after us even on our nights out when we were not meant to be out having tequila, but we did anyway. He shoots from the hip. He's a no-nonsense guy, speaks truth to power, and he's one of my favorite dudes. Please make some noise for Zola Hashatsi. How you doing, my dog?
I'm good and you, man?
I'm good, man.
Thank you. You got it right. Hashatsi Kamutsiri. That's mom and dad.
No, it's very important. Yeah. But you've been Hashatsi for the longest time.
Yeah.
What happened? How did you, when and why did you add Kamutsiri?
Well, my mom's side of the family and my father's side of the family, Kimubango, never got along, you know, typical black story.
Okay.
My father's side never accepted me, bloody, bloody, blah.
What? How? I don't understand.
So this is a story.
Okay.
My mom was the student, my father was the teacher.
Hibana.
Well, clearly he taught her something.
Yeah.
Because I'm here.
He's like, let me give you homeworks.
Biology. Likali.
I will for homeworks for life.
Oh, well, but the results were great.
But growing up, though,
yeah.
Understanding that there's this dynamic and that you're not wanted by your dad's side of the family, how does that affect a young boy growing towards manhood?
It really does affect one, because... As much as I can give, pay homage and love my mom's side of the family,
sure.
I still need to recognize my father's side.
Yes, sir.
Especially as a male.
Mm,
Because if I decide to get married one day, I would need my father's side, my father's surname, the blessings.
Yes,
if I need success or work, especially in this stupid, messy industry, I would need the luck or blessings from... If I want Dilo Ditsa my grand in my life, I need to have my father's side.
So it was important for you to close that gap, basically.
I had to, because growing up, they were not getting along.
Mm.
And bear in mind, the Badu Lako starting, say one.
Yeah.
One long street ko Pimbo.
Sure.
So one day I was like, I'm going to that family.
Yeah.
Yeah, to say, hi, how are you?
I come back.
Ta-da! But little time, we were good. We would meet, but secretly.
Sure.
You know, Kodi Koning.
Yeah.
You know.
What would you guys talk about?
Well, I was young. So basically, it was just,
Go buy sweets.
Yeah, you know, stock exchange.
Sure.
It was just one of those. I don't remember much because I was like 5, 6, seven.
Sure.
And I think he passed away when I was 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and it was just little moments.
Sure.
Because, you know, Papa was a Rolling Stone. So I think I've got about 9, 10 brothers and sisters out there.
You're Mubango indeed.
Well, at least we're not cancelled.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm beginning to meet other Mutsiris out there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. So how do you then stumble into the industry? Because I know one of your first forays into the industry was an Outsurance ad, if I'm not mistaken.
You. Who did the digging?
So and I know, so as I was leaving YFM to go to 5FM, you were literally making your way into the industry, 2005, 2006.
True.
So tell us about that period in your life and how you ended up in the industry.
Well, at school, I was just getting bored of doing your maths, your science, your biology, your I was like, this is not for me.
Sure.
I was bored. Mm. So like a typical student, I'll go to school, but instead of getting into school, I would pack clothes and then change, bunk, and then climb taxis to that beautiful building at Auckland Park, SCBC. Mm. You know, I started pitching shows whilst I was in high school.
You were pitching shows to the SABC?
Yeah.
In high school?
Yeah, grade 10.
Yo.
I started pitching shows, then go back to school, and then bunk again and come to the Market Theatre and watch Sarafina, and I'm excited.
Sure.
I'm sitting there watching Mam Leleti Khumalo, and I'm like, I want to do this. Mm. This makes me happy.
Sure.
I want to do this. And then fast forward 2007.
Yeah.
No, 2006, yeah. I auditioned for Tsotsi. Mm. Well, you never saw me there, so I didn't get it.
Sure.
But 2007, ended up on SABC 3 with Pearl Tuzi doing iCrew.
Sure.
Back then, we still had continuity presenters, Bo Erin Besta.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's how it started.
So did you have an agent or were you like going it by yourself?
In the words of Juju, I was chacharach. Mm. I just went in by myself. Mm. So I found myself on 3. When the show ended, for that weekend, I was unemployed. Then Monday, ETV called. Then I joined Crazy.
Yo.
They're like, we're looking for a presenter to do a live show. I'm like, present, teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was there for 9 years. So that's how it started.
So when you start your the show you did with Pearl Tuzi on SABC 3.
iCrew, yeah.
iCrew. How does that then change the trajectory of the rest of your life? Because you've gone from this kid who's chacharach, is doing auditions, auditioned for Tsotsi, didn't get it.
Yeah.
I actually also auditioned for Tsotsi.
Did you?
Actually, my voice was used for a radio. I was supposed to be a presenter. And I remember I presented a radio guy.
Yeah.
And I remember I was back announcing a Brenda Fassie song.
Okay.
In my Tsotsi audition. But I don't know if it didn't work for, I can't remember, so don't worry.
So just like you, we're both not there.
We both didn't make it.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, so obviously, like I say, I mean, you're trying to get into the industry.
Yeah.
You're knocking on doors. You're trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, SABC 3 iCrew say, we see you, kid.
Yeah.
Come, let's do this.
For sure.
How does that change your trajectory for the rest of your life?
Well, from there, then I think I was like, I think my parents saw that, okay, you're serious about this, because I think it's only 2 years ago I admitted to them that I used to bunk.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, I mean, it's working for you.
Sure.
So
sure.
Great stuff. Mm. So I think it worked out for me, because after iCrew and then Crazy, finishing my matric, I'm like, I want to do media studies.
Sure.
In fact, I want to do theater.
Mm.
Then I come to the Market Theater Lab, where I studied for 2 years. And then that's when Muneen Lee signed me up after seeing me perform.
Mm.
Then now it became a business.
Ah, yes.
You know, now it's no longer about running around in studio. Mm. It's no longer about being chacharach.
Mm.
Now, okay, you must learn the art.
Sure.
Yeah, because now you know, also I was never in it to be a celebrity, you know. I'm all about being a thespian.
Yes.
You know, because I take it from when I say our Father who art in heaven, we art on earth.
Mm.
So that's why we are artists.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It will be really punchline, you know.
As long as you're catching them.
I'm like, this dude ate punchlines for dinner. Now he's spewing them here.
It's been a week.
So why was it important to do the lab at the Market Theatre, though? And why should other people who are passionate about the art go to a lab, for instance, go to a Market Theatre, or just go into theatre maybe to sharpen the tool?
You know, you can, you have to, well, you don't have to, but I would advise them too, because most of the greatest actors come from the stage.
Sure.
You know, shout out to TV actors. Because stage, you are big. That's why when you get to TV, they have to tone you down.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
Hence they do this.
Mm. Fit in here.
Yeah, fit, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's important to, because you learn things about like hitting your mark, you know, squaring up, projecting, you know, owning the audience. So it's discipline also.
Sure.
most TV people are ill-disciplined, especially this new generation.
And sometimes it's because they know there'll be a second take.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're on stage, you can't fuck it up.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is your take.
And the people you with, they must know, okay, Tato forgot the lines, okay.
So let's rescue.
Let's save him.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it happened to us in Grahamstown, where you can hear someone is saying a line, but it's not in the script.
Yeah.
So someone took the cue, and we all improvised.
True.
So theater will teach you things like improvisation.
Mm.
So as you mentioned, most TV actors, I think nothing grates actors' tits than being on take 8.
Yeah.
And now Twanzekile, I have to cry again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that moment,
yeah,
was in the first take.
Yeah.
Now you've lost the moment.
Yeah, but at take 8, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, no. One tear. Yeah, just one tier. Kalifele one. Lisho la sichaba.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. So I was presenter of Tropica Island of Treasure, I think for 5 seasons.
Yeah.
And on one of our seasons in Cancun, Mexico.
Yes.
You were part of the crew.
Yes.
So how did you end up there?
How did I end up there?
Let me tell you why I'm asking you,
yeah,
this. Because a lot of kids get into TV, for,
yeah,
instance, or into film. And the minute they become staring,
yeah,
the minute they become household names, they think they're too big,
eish,
to be behind the scenes,
oh,
or to be a production assistant,
yeah,
or to be a runner. But that's where you're going to learn about the rest of what everyone else does.
Hell
by
to
actually
the, yeah,
doing it.
Yeah.
Why was it important for you to do that?
I think it goes back to iCrew and Crazy Days, because,
yeah,
as much as I was the presenter, but I was that guy holding the scripts, you,
sure,
know, I was that guy, first one on set, last one on set, you know, pulling the cables,
yeah,
you know, assisting with the camera,
sure,
you know, moving the set. And they were like, other presenters couldn't fathom or understand, why are you doing this? And I'm like, you need to know what's happening as setting.
Learn the whole vehicle, not just to drive it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. When you get stuck, dial this insurance company. No. Learn to change the wheel.
I got this.
Learn to change your oil.
Mm.
And also, Market Theater taught us that. Lighting,
yeah,
sound, stage managing.
Mm.
You have to, props.
Sure.
So it's important, because staring never dies. That's a myth. Okay, Steven Seagal. Okay, Pat Spencer. Okay, Tompo. Bruce Lee. You know,
At least Tompo was immortalized by a DJ Cleo in a song. So Tompo is back.
Well, if Casper could lose the ponytail, so Tompo could as well,
yeah,
you know. But
yeah,
shout out to Cleo. So it's important to learn the art of the industry.
Sure.
And because if your sound guy was not here, we wouldn't be doing this.
Absolutely.
If your lighting guy wasn't here, you know, if your beautiful manager who doesn't shout at us,
yeah,
was not here, I mean, we would
exactly
have not started.
Absolutely.
You
so,
know.
Okay, so in Mexico, what were you? Were you production assistant?
I was production assistant, but I was also second AD.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay.
So
what is an AD?
I have to make sure that first AD and the D knows,
okay,
what's going on. Basically, you need to run this damn show.
Okay, so assistant director.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason I'm raising that is because I saw a different side of you when we were in Mexico.
Yeah.
Because I've seen you in front of the camera.
Sure.
You know, we've seen you in an advert.
Yeah.
We'd seen you, I think, in Scandal by then. Had you done Scandal already by then?
Back in the days when it was still at High Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was just a small role. Rhythm City was the great role.
You did Rhythm City also.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, like I'm saying, I mean, you're assistant director. You were literally running up and down.
Yeah.
And
2 weeks.
And we would shoot from about 9 in the morning,
yeah,
until 5, 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd have dinner. And then we'd party until 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then by 8, we're shooting again. And this man made sure that every single person is in the hotel room sleeping. Even if it's at 5 in the morning, he'd make sure we're all tucked in.
I was young.
Yeah.
I could do it.
You had the energy.
Ask me now. It'd take me 4 days to recover fresh.
There are three nights in Mexico where we had so much tequila.
Yes.
I don't remember how this guy got me into my room. All I remember is waking up and my dude is like, don't worry, I made sure you were safe.
Yes.
I made sure I was in my hotel room. I'd collect nothing. I know nothing. I know nothing, Your Honor.
But we had fun.
Yeah.
The show was on air.
Yeah.
In South Africa.
Sure.
Yeah, we brought back a great show.
Mm.
We even survived a tornado. What was it?
Yeah, there was a tornado warning.
Yes.
And the entire hotel had to go into the basement because there was a tornado coming.
But the show must go on. Yes, we had to change the entire show. Now we are shooting inside your hotel rooms.
Yeah.
The show must go on.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this industry. No matter what, the show must go on.
But you've also had to deal with seasons of there's no show.
Yeah.
Like it's dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Whew. Seasons of no show.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the art of the industry. Mm. There was once your Woza Weekends,
sure.
There was once your Spires,
mm.
There was once your Isidingos, your Sierra Delans, your Movangos, your Rhythm Cities, your Yizo Yizos. It can start.
Mm.
But everything that starts has an ending.
Sure. Mm.
So hence you need to learn the industry and learn who does what. Because you can't be the face all the time.
Mm.
There's new kids in the industry now.
Sure.
Speaking, sitting here right now, there's kids at AFTA, there's kids at VITS.
Mm.
You know, some of them you don't need to go train for this, because some of them you're born with this, you know. Mm. So season of dryness, you just have to be creative, you know, write, pitch.
At a practical level.
Yeah.
When there's no show.
Yeah.
Meaning there's no income.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with the day-to-day bread and butter issues?
Well, thank God we've got family, you know, that we can still call.
Sure.
Thank God that family taught us the art of saving money, because financial literacy is one thing we need in the industry.
Sure.
So when there's absolutely nothing, but 3 months, 6 months, sometimes even a year, sometimes it's a good time to, you know, self-introspect, you know, go back and go to the mirror just like you used to audition and ask, am I in the right industry?
Yeah.
Is it late to submit my CV? But you need to work and learn the art of knowing the industry and knowing the right people.
How dry has it been for you?
For me?
And how hungry have you gotten because it got dry?
How dry has it been? I'd say I've been blessed to, at some stage I had about 6 gigs, you know. So if it's dry, I'd say 1 or 2 gigs. But sometimes it's burnt dry, but how I've survived, I've learned to save.
Okay.
I've learned to, to put my money in safe spaces and invest. And growing up Kokazi, I have a bunch of societies that I attend with people that are older than me.
Mm.
I'm always the youngest, quite exciting.
Mm.
So I wouldn't say I've gone hungry.
Sure.
No more hunger. No, no, no.
Mm.
Hunger is real in this industry, especially at this rate when shows are getting canned.
Sure.
So I don't think ain't no shame in getting a 9-to-5, you know, and then.
So have you had to do that?
Oh, no. I think before entering the industry, I was already working good disc cam, but
sure.
weekends, you know. Mm. So I've been working since I was like 14. Mm. And most of the shows that I do, I end up producing them. So that's my 9-to-5 or 9-to-9. Or
so what are you working on right now?
Right now, my favorite building there, Auckland Park, I had like 4 pitches last week. So right now I'm running my own production company, Hashatse Productions, because sometimes you get tired of taking people's BS.
Sure.
So you need to now literally go behind and start the project from A to Z. So that's what I'm currently doing. And I'm also working behind the scenes for the Safters. And I'm just auditioning. Because the truth of the industry, you'll audition until you die.
Are there any moments where you feel like you're not working because maybe you're outspoken? Or you're not working because you're not afraid to speak truth to power. Or you're not working and you know for sure it's because someone is blocking it.
truth be told, our industry does have gatekeepers. Mm. They're there. Mm. They are there, Mama. They are there. But what you just said, it made me think right now. Mm. That, yeah, no, me, stuff like six, you know, me, Bluetooth, sure. Speak. I speak my mind, you know, I call people out and I tag them because they need to know. Mm. So maybe, yeah, sometimes I'm not getting gigs because, that guy, you know that guy with the miners who's going to be like, the union is, you know, the Amandla guy. Mm. So maybe, yes, you're right. Mm. Sometimes I don't get gigs because...
No, let me tell you why also I'm saying that. Because I'd gotten a list of people that I know you in the industry.
Yeah.
And I'd asked them to send a voice note.
Okay.
Just talking about you and what they feel about you and how they've experienced you.
Wow, wow, wow.
And about three of them said they love you to death.
Wow.
But they're afraid that if they are quoted verbatim or the voice note plays on any platform, it might affect their bread because you're outspoken. Yeah. How does that make you feel?
Insane in the member arena.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm. But I'm glad because it means clearly I hold power. There's power in the tongue, they said. So I'm glad that my voice has an impact and I'm the voice for the voiceless and I will continue. I'm just sad that if they had to speak, it will affect their bread. Mm. That's some crazy hierarchy, power, nonsensical nonsense. Mm. But it is what it is, eh?
What would you say is the biggest thing you've been outspoken about in your industry, where you know they heard you?
I think I've always spoken about protecting the actors.
Sure.
Treating the extras rightfully so, treating the crew rightfully so, giving us great quality shows on air, because I've seen shows where you see a booming shot, but it's playing, and I'm like, but who approved it?
Sure.
I've called out bosses of big companies, so I mean, there's quite a few, so I can't think of one that I'd say it's gotten me in hot water, but I'm sure it's blacklisted me. Mm. Man, I've just called out people, just pay people well.
Sure.
Pay the damn actor.
Sure.
If you've acted, pay the damn actor. And also these production houses are killing us because now they're slowly but surely coming out.
Sure.
The industry has, you know, placed its head on the block and giving these new production houses, especially young black production houses, a chance and a budget. But they'll give you a 60% of what was expected of them. Next thing, there's 250 in the account. People buy cars, people buy beach houses. So the essence of the art and the love of the art is gone. Sure. I think it left with the previous generation.
So are you saying some production companies are treating this as like a heist almost? Let's make a quick buck, but let's not look after the parts of the machine that get the machine moving.
Yeah. Mm. Just like most of people in higher powers and higher positions ate money from the national lottery.
Sure.
It happens. Mm. It's not only our industry, but they see it as a quick buck to make. So it's sad, and there's many of them.
I need you to put on your headphones.
Okay.
We have a message for you.
Oh.
Okay. Are your levels fine? You're happy with your levels?
Happiness.
Kamako. Zola, this is Naledi Dube, as you call me. I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for sharing your light with all of us. Thank you for just being an amazing person and a great impact in the creative space in this country. You are extremely talented. You are such a loving person, and you know, they don't make them like you anymore. So continue to serve. Continue to do art as an artiste, as you always say. And I pray that you continue to do great things in the space. And we see you, we honor you. And I hope that this voice note will be a reminder that you are great and that you're here for a reason. Be present and feel. I like the ability to express how proud I am of you and how happy I am to actually have crossed paths with you. Thank you for your energy, your loud, very loud energy.
You're very loud.
And thank you for your honesty as well. As an artist myself, I look up to you. I look up to the amazing work that you've done, and it goes unnoticed. I hope that, you know, bigger doors continue to open for you. May you go from glory to glory. And we can't wait to see the amazing things that God has in store for you. And bye.
Oh, Togoza Dube. Oh, my gosh.
Who is that?
Naledi Dube.
Okay.
Oh. Naledi Dube is... Naledi Dube is special.
Mm.
You know, she's one of those people in the industry that cares.
Sure.
She's more or less like your manager. She runs a show. Mm. She runs a project. She cares about the project. She sees it from A to Z.
Sure.
And she always looks mighty fine.
Mm-hmm. Is she single?
I'd like to think so, yeah.
Okay, I'm asking for a friend.
Okay,
yeah.
Even me.
Okay.
No, I don't do friends.
Okay.
No, Naledi is an amazing soul.
Oh. I will go represent you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. No, Naledi is a special soul.
Sure.
We've interacted and worked on a couple of projects, and it's always a pleasure. She doesn't give me stress.
Sure.
She's a great soul. Mm. She's kind. When she said they don't make them like me anymore, they don't make them like her anymore.
Sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
She's a beautiful artiste. Mm. She's a thespian.
Sure. You have very strong opinions on the fickleness of fandom and how often our fans almost only love us when it's good. But when it's bad, majority disappear.
Yeah.
That you're only as dope as the show that is currently running, but once the show is done and they don't see you on the screen, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
That's what it is. Out of sight, out of mind. Well, I mean, you some thespians do leave a great impact, you know. There's many, many actors that are no more, your original Shaka Zulus,
sure.
Most of the cast from Hlalaka Bafileyo, Scooty's Nice, they're out of sight, but forever in our minds.
Sure.
But also, it's not only the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in this stupid, messy industry, they will appreciate you and love you when your show is on air.
Mm.
Ha, come season finale.
Mm.
Or come, let's go to radio. Come reshuffling. In March,
sure.
Contract is gone, you're no longer on air.
Mm.
They move to the new friends that are on air.
Yes.
So yeah, they like you when they can, Fresh, please give me a shout out.
If you
abuse.
Yeah.
So they will use you, abuse you, and lose you in that order.
Mm.
So I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of favors, but they glorify you when you are on air.
Sure.
And when you're off air, they're like, okay, next.
Mm.
So they don't like you for you.
Mm.
They like you for what can you do for me?
Sure. So, for instance, you're also very vocal about the role of the Department of Arts and Culture.
Oh.
And, you know, when Minister McKenzie, it's still weird saying Minister McKenzie.
Yeah.
But anyway, when Minister McKenzie spoke about how they're going to publish a list of every person in the industry that's benefited.
Yeah.
Even just 1 cent.
Yeah.
A lot of people felt like, but why are you exposing people? Do you want to embarrass people? Mm. But generally, the public felt like, yeah, Vail, it's our taxpayers.
Yeah.
It's our taxes.
Yeah.
We're taxpayers and we want to know where our money went.
Indeed.
Where do you stand on that issue?
I like things to be open.
Yeah.
You know, we would like to... I went through that list and it was shocking. Half of those people I don't know, you know. I don't expect to know everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But also it was interesting, you know, to see that... Diamond, this department has money.
Sure.
Each department is allocated a certain budget, you know, but then we still have artists.
I think it's 2.2 billion currently.
Way. Mm. Whilst we have to donate when someone dies, when we have to beg for halls and theaters when someone dies, when we have to not have quality projects on air, when we don't have community centers, Kokasi. I grew up around community centers. It was still great and safe. But I was happy when the list was published because we want to see who got 200,000 and do they deserve it and what have they done.
And for me, it's not even so much that I disagree that it might embarrass people or put people's business out there.
Yeah.
For me, during a COVID period, where people, I personally was buying groceries for 8 people who are in our industry. 8. I was buying groceries out of my own pocket. But you have a department giving obscene amounts of money to individuals.
Yeah.
Obscene amounts of money to individuals because those people are connected or because those people know the right person to help them with the form.
Yeah.
But the people who don't have groceries. That's rubbish, dude.
It's nonsensical nonsense. There were names there that I've never seen.
Which is fine. Well, I mean, we're not going to know everyone in our industry.
Yeah.
There's artists, there's dancers, there's choreographers. We won't know everyone. Not everyone is in front of the camera.
But some of them, we need to question if, are they even, do they exist?
Well, a simple Google search and checking on Instagram will give you an idea of if they exist or not. But if we're going to give Zola money to pay 6 months of rent, but someone else in the same industry as Zola can't even afford to buy groceries,
I mean,
that is bullshit.
It's a damn shame.
It's bullshit.
It's a damn shame. But shout out to you for buying those 8 people.
And you know the sad thing is, because COVID devastated our industry the way it did, a majority of them still can't afford groceries. Now, how wild is that?
No, that's crazy.
How wild is that? But anyway, we have another message for you. Please put on your headphones.
Oh, okay.
Yo, 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 yo. Hello.
Oh, no.
I'm Zola Bafani. Yes,
been.
Sure. It's Zola hashtag Hashazi. You know what time it is. It's your boy, Master P, don't get it twisted, the number one beatboxer of the world-renowned a cappella group, The Soil. And I'm proud of you.
Amen.
And thank you, Abud Fresh. This guy next to you is a living legend, man. He's multi-talented, he's a humanitarian. I mean, I'm counting, he's a presenter, producer, actor, voiceover artist, an MC, and then sometimes he tries to dance. Hey, but
what?
You know what? He's just a bunch of fun, man. You just need to hang around with him to see him for who he is. Really, I mean, this guy has energy from TV, and then even in the hood, he still has the same energy. You would say he's drinking something, man. But yeah, man, he likes to see people progress in their life, man. I think with him, man, people are blessed to have him also. Also me as a body, you know, we've traveled a lot and then we've seen it all. We've lost some friends, Abo Akumzi, and we've cried Nabompoza recently. But you know, we still got each other, you know, from that whole shebang.
Yeah.
And I told him, never lose hope. Sometimes it's time for us to check on self also, you know, and then celebrate ourselves also, you know, have a self-introspection.
Yeah.
And it's so good, man, you know. And then it's nice to comfort others when Azola also don't I am. And sometimes you need to also check in on us and we check in on you. You know what it is, time. But yeah, man, I remember those hilarious days whereby you didn't have accommodation for the Metro Awards, and then you asked me, Dwana, do you have? I was like, I come through, Dwana, drive down, and then we had fun, man. And then, yo, I can tell you about his wildest side when he's nice with the Bev. Zola would jump in the pool, skinny dippy.
Wow.
Yeah, that's my boy, he's wild.
Wow.
I love you, Zola.
Oh, man. Tell us about P. P. Dog.
Master P.
Master P from the soil.
Lupindo Ngaba.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Master P is a brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, some friends become brothers.
Mm.
Master P is a brother. I think when I entered the industry, they were also coming out from school.
Sure.
And they were also entering the industry.
Mm.
I think we were all plus size 26.
Sure.
Yeah. And yeah, we literally grew up together in the industry.
Sure.
In the same hood, Protea Glen.
Mm.
And we've been through it all, the good, the bad, the highs, the lows. There was a point I used to attend all their concerts everywhere.
Mm.
As much as they're my friends, but I don't usually fan out, but
yeah.
I would fan out, you know.
Sure.
I still have their CDs, I love their music. Master P is a brother you can call at 3 a.m. Horiki Stakileko N1.
Oh, I need accommodation for the awards.
I mean, and I drove to Durban with no accommodation,
sure.
But I drove.
I decided, like, if girls can do it in Sun City, I can do it in Durban.
If girls can do it in Durban, July, I mean.
I was guitar.
In fact, now that you mentioned that, Fresh, I did it again, Cornell Sprite, at the Metros. Wow.
So it's your thing?
Well, I was young, stupid, and naive.
Yeah.
No, man. But Master P is a brother that you would call. We're actually hanging together a month ago.
Sure.
He's amazing.
Mm.
He's a beautiful soul.
Sure.
He's a kind-hearted. You see, everything he said about me, that's him.
Sure.
Yeah, I appreciate him, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, the skinny dipping parts could have been edited,
but it's the truth.
I mean, but you must live your truth.
Yeah.
And also, speaking of skinny dipping, I don't know why I do that, because if you remember, in Mexico, I never got into water because I can't swim. You were supposed to teach me, Mr. Miyagi.
Dude, you were supposed to come to my wife's swimming school and you said you cut for 5 years, like, no, I'm on my way.
I guess at that time I had 11 jobs, so I was busy.
So you must keep your clothes on. Thank you very much. Were you arrested? And what were you arrested for?
I knew that was coming.
Because I'm like, while he's in water. Sometimes.
Turn up the heat.
Sometimes the best time to bring the blowtorch is when they're in water.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a great...
Naked in the water. Bring the blowtorch.
Okay, now let's go there.
Yeah, were you arrested? Why were you arrested?
Well, I...
Yes or no first?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, why were you arrested, Zola?
Allegedly, they said...
Okay.
I was impersonating
a doctor.
A doctor.
So you are the original Dr. Lani?
No.
Okay.
There's Dr. Malinga, there's Dr. Kumalo. I am a traditional doctor.
Okay.
So I was there to see my late aunt now.
Okay, so this happened where?
In Barra.
Okay, so you arrived at Barra.
Yeah.
Were you wearing a doctor's coat?
No.
Did you have a stethoscope or not?
Well, yes.
Why did you have a stethoscope on your
Zola? Because it's the only way I could get in there. after visiting hours.
Okay, so you badly wanted to visit someone.
Yeah,
so you
I had to.
To impersonate a doctor.
No, to give them traditional medication.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, which I know they'll never allow.
Okay.
So, yeah, I did it for about 2 weeks.
Oh, shit. This wasn't just a once off.
Oh, hell no.
Yo.
Yeah. But I know. Then, Hashem, that day was not my day. Yeah. But then I made magic.
So how did it catch up with you, this thing?
How did it catch up with me? Damn.
Because for 2 weeks you got away with it.
Yeah. How did it catch up with me?
So what? So you broke into a hospital?
Not broke.
You impersonated a doctor, so it's a break-in.
No, I drove in, I parked.
Yeah.
I walked.
So, but on the real though, so was this to administer traditional meds?
Yeah.
Okay.
To my family member.
Okay.
You know, because we were trying everything.
Sure.
You know, but unfortunately it was...
So how did it catch up with you that this guy is not one of us?
I think someone said, "Hi, man. Who is this doctor?" You know, I think someone's, and then I was like, "Uh-oh." Yeah, then I knew.
Okay.
And I think one of the matrons was there, and I think she knows all the doctors.
Sure.
Then I tried to explain to her, and I'm like, "But this is my family."
Sure.
This, yeah. But then they were like, "Nope." I was like, "Okay."
So how long were you locked up for?
One night only, one night only.
And then were you charged? What was the charge?
I was not charged.
Okay.
Yeah, I called mother, and mother made it disappear.
Okay, so the thing is done now.
It's done.
But have you learned your lesson?
Well, I must bring back my stethoscope, but I've learned.
What are you going to do with a stethoscope, Zola?
I'm an actor, it's a prop.
I don't think he's learned his lesson.
No, man, I have. I didn't know it was illegal.
What?
Or rather, I didn't know it was illegal.
To impersonate a doctor?
Yeah.
Why would it be legal?
I had to Google it, and I was like, you?
Why would it be legal to impersonate a doctor?
I don't know.
Next thing you're busy, they're giving people spate.
No.
The doctor there.
Well, that's right up my alley. That's what I do. As a sangoma.
Yeah.
But no, on the real, I've learned, do not impersonate doctors. It's,
Let's touch on your calling quickly. How did your calling manifest? When did you realize that, okay, I can't ignore this anymore?
I think after I wrote off my fourth or fifth car, because I would write off cars every year in June.
At least you're consistent. What was happening in June?
It's cold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the heater is on.
Okay. Oh, and then you fall asleep.
Well, that was one time.
Okay.
Other times, I don't remember. The other time, I was fetching a drumstick. Auntie, there's a cave. Next thing, wall, tree, broke my nose.
What do you say to people who say you had 5 car accidents because you were a reckless driver? It has nothing to do with ancestors.
Listen, that would be their opinion, because and also my late great grandmother would always be there at the back. I would see her, so there was a series of her showing up, and after all these accidents, when I decided to heed the call, no more accidents. You know, so listen, it happens to us differently.
Sure.
You know,
hence, I'm asking you how yours manifested.
Yeah. So, that's how I acknowledged it, and I found out that, this is what you need to do.
Sure.
Because someone else in the family done had it before, and everyone has been running.
Sure.
And I was like, yo, I'll take it. But if I didn't, I don't think I would be here today. So... following my calling has definitely transformed my life.
Sure.
Following my calling has made me slow down. Following my calling has made me better and slower.
Sure.
You know, because speed kills. Literally and figuratively. Yeah.
How does following your calling affect intimate relationships?
Yo, it does. It does, because... Some people are not sure if they want to interact or get intimate, you know.
Hence I'm asking. I'm actually asking from a very personal point of view.
Yeah.
Because someone didn't disclose to me that they are in the middle of a thing. I find out later that, oh, by the way, I'm like, why are you only telling me now?
Also, you couldn't tell.
There was nothing.
Which is dangerous. You must always disclose, you know, because we are dealing with spirits here.
Absolutely.
So if my spirit and your spirit are up, then it's a no for me.
Absolutely.
It's a no from them. So it's very important. But I love it also because it guides you to the right person. Because many people come in relationships or in your spaces for different reasons and for different seasons.
So have you found the right person?
I'm still auditioning.
Yeah,
I'm still auditioning. Listen, there's people I've loved,
Didn't you date Gully Roberts?
We had a thing.
And how old were you at the time? I know you were very, 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 very young. Zolanda, my sister.
Mind you, Gully was my mom's age, ne?
Hence, I'm saying that when I heard that you were dating Gully, I was like, how?
No, we were having fun. We were having fun. We were having fun. She was.
What did you call her, the mamzo?
No, no makula. Guys, Gully was amazing.
Yeah.
Gully was amazing. Yeah.
So we lose Gully. And what do you think we lost in a Gully when the industry lost Gully?
To those that interacted with Gully, especially off screen, they would know that you lost a giving, humble, sweet, shy, funny, naughty, creative.
You'd know about the naughty, of course.
To those that knew Gully on screen.
So when you guys role played, what did you play? Crash?
Oh, Fresh, you are on a roll, ne? Funny enough, we used to dress up. Spider-Man. And,
I'm sure.
Yeah. We used to interrogate people. Centurion, they'll never forget us.
Yeah.
Listen, on screen, people lost a real talent.
Sure.
An entertainer.
And no prison taker.
No, listen, tongue in cheek.
Sure.
She called a spade a spade. I think I also got it from her to call it out.
I'm sure.
I'm not here to be liked. I'm not money. But I've got the talent.
Sure.
Yeah. So we lost a great talent.
But also because we're now you've been intimately involved in a lot of productions, a lot of shows within our industry, I'm sure a lot of the losses we've been dealing with over the last 5 years affected you probably more than a lot of people out there.
Yeah. It's.
So how do you deal with it at an emotional level that you keep going? And it doesn't drag you down.
At some stage, I was just an autopilot.
Sure.
You know, I was like Lilith on Sarafina. You know, make me numb, Nelson.
Yeah.
Make me numb. I was numb. But I would break down at home. But therapy also helped.
Sure.
Because the loss became. We've lost a lot of great people.
Sure. It's been a hectic 5 years.
And it's painful. Because the people watching, some of them are just fans.
Sure.
But these people are breadwinners. These people are talent. These people are.
And many at the prime of their talent.
Yeah. And it always happens like that. When you're almost there, and they're like, okay, that's enough. So it's.
I mean, I started watching Savage Beauty.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Mpho's gone.
Yes.
Like such a talent, gone.
Yeah, and 016 FM, that one is still
just
unbelievable.
Like this. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them are still unbelievable. Unfortunately, that's what's going to happen to all of us. Mm. But then we need to live every day as if it's our last. We need to eat that meal every day as if it's your last.
Absolutely.
We need to celebrate each other and tell each other and be kind to each other.
Sure. Now, before we let you go, because we are running out of time,
yeah.
What is your biggest concern about your industry right now? So let's talk film and TV. What's your biggest concern right now?
I usually say let's be kind to ourselves in the industry, because the Americans have been having it.
Sure.
TV was only introduced in South Africa in 1976.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, as much as we are a work in progress, but we need to put our act together and pull our socks up, and because it stopped being about talent a long time ago, you know. Mm. So we need to bring back the art.
The essence.
The essence in the art. We need to bring back talent.
Sure.
I've got no qualms and no beef with your influencers. Mm. There's enough slices of cake for everyone to eat. But my concern is, it seems like Rico Pick and Pay, man. Everyone is like, Kenyan. Asfagani, you know. Mm.
Work and earn it.
Like all of us, we've worked.
Sure.
We had to audition. We have to call in agents, managers. Mm. So we are missing the art, the love, the passion. Now it's about just, I want the money, I want the role, I want the red carpet, I want the black carpet, I want this dress, I want
people
this car.
People are in it for the frills
and
not for, let me be memorable, impactful, and immortalize myself in my art.
Yeah.
Instead, you're going to be remembered for how much of a diva you were, or because of who you slept with.
Versus, culture and caste.
You know, versus the work they did in 50 years will be in a textbook, because that's how much impact they had in the industry. And I think we need people that hungry in the industry.
We need people that hungry. We need people that hungry. They're not hungry for it anymore.
Mm.
And also now they're just calling it a hobby. What's your hobby? Acting.
I'm just trying this acting thing.
Yeah,
you know the minute you start calling it this DJ thing, Putek. With your thing, Putek. It's not a thing.
No, you need my orange to say that Putek.
No. The thing is, I don't want to take over his thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm downplaying my Futsak.
Okay.
So that my orange can have his. You see.
Your Futsak is in cursive.
I did calligraphy, in fact, in primary school.
Oh, really?
And all of primary school, I got A or A plus for handwriting. I can't believe they used to grade our handwriting, eh? But anyway, a story for another day. What's next for Zola? Where do we support you? Where do we find you?
What's next for me?
Yeah.
There's new shows that are being cooked.
Okay.
We are cooking. There are new shows that are being cooked with Netflix.
Okay.
There was a time I wanted to get into radio, but as I said now, they're also calling it this. I want to try this radio thing. So everyone is doing radio.
It's a radio thing.
Yeah.
Imagine.
So now, it's fine.
Mm.
So I want to go back to the stage.
Sure.
I miss theater. I'm sad I missed out on Grahamstown. Mm. I just want to bring back the arts.
Sure.
I want to bring back art to the people.
Mm.
So Minister McKenzie, I will be asking for funding and bring back the art to different hoods. So I just want to grow Hashati Productions from strength to strength and hire people that are hungry and pay them well and stop exploiting the crew or the extras like we saw in Shaka Ilembe. So it's I just want to leave a mark on being a young production owner that did it differently and did the damn thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My dude, I love you. Nothing but respect for you.
I love you and respect you too, big dog.
I've seen your come up since 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
And I think you must continue being unapologetic, speaking truth to power, and calling out shit that is shit. If it's shit, it's shit. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that you call it out as you see it. So shout out to you. I love you, my guy.
I love you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zola Hashati Kamutsiri is out of here. And no, he's not looking for another sugar mother. Or are you?
Well.
So body mamzo. If you're looking for a 35-year-old. If you're 60, you're looking for a 35.
What a wow.
Did you ever call us like, auto safe deal?
You know what is Kuli's biggest thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
No. One thing I hated about that house, there was like 9 cats.
Yeah.
And 4 dogs.
And you were there for the 10th one.
What, the pussy cat?
Ladies and gentlemen, bye-bye. Zola Hashatsi Kamutsiri is leaving the building. Not even Dr. Doolittle. Whether you're Dr. Do a lot.
Bad.
Oh, fuck. Zola is out of here, guys. Yo.
Did you do an intro for Nicholas Apple?
Yeah.
And then the short intro as well?
Yeah. Yeah. And it is a wrap. As always, thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for sharing the links with friends and family. It's been another episode of Wow What a Week, coming to you from AMP Studios, downtown Johannesburg. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. Feel free to email us at waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out to our cinematographer, Trevor, and the guys at Pezulu Works. Shout out to Otis the Floor Fraser for all of our imaging. And shout out to our mother, the show executive producer, Keletso Modisa King. Till next week. Have yourselves a wow week in spite of yourselves.